Chapter 28. Strength and Skill. It was important to be well rested before a raid. That was the one thing he always insisted on. You needed your energy to do what needed to be done, and being fresh meant that if there was a fight, then the boys would be raring to go instead of being tired and distracted. Sure, it made them a little antsy and aggressive, but he liked them mean. Not too mean, because then they tended to burn, then try to pillage, and he couldn't have that. It was going to go smooth. He and his boys could have a bit of a sponsored party, courtesy of the farmer, have some fun with the girl, kill the men, and then be gone. The people in the house were obviously rich and stupid. He didn't expect much in the way of fighting. 3 men and a girl against 30 bandits, 3 of whom were cultivators. And what if he, Sun Ken, the whirling demon sword himself? He would have had a 4th cultivator if that whore of a young mistress hadn't killed him. He would mourn his brother later. Even just remembering that they'd had to flee from the Verdant Blade sect stoked his rage. The bitch of a young mistress had been far, far too tenacious. His fist clenched and he growled. His boys might not get a turn if he stayed this angry. Mortal girls were so fragile. Still, his boys were as rested as they could be, and they had some food in them. It was a good night for raiding, too, with clouds covering the moon. Darkness always made him feel at home.
"Gather up, you worthless bastards! Gather up!"
he commanded, his voice booming through their camp. There were some things one had to do as a leader to maintain order. These speeches were one of them, to hype the men up. He knew there had been grumbling about leaving the wounded behind, for even men like these disliked abandoning their comrades. But soon, soon, everything would be in the back of their minds. His boys staggered to their feet, with hungry looks in their eyes. Oh yes, they were definitely ready.
"I know what you want, so I'll keep this short. We've got a bunch of rich bastards in ours walk that way. They have generously decided to add their wealth to the Whirling Demon Sword Gang."
At this, his men laughed. The mood was getting good.
"I know we've been through hell these last couple of days. Those Verdant Blade bastards thought they were hot shit, and we still managed to kill a bunch of them. But today is the turning point. Today, we get what we need and—"
He paused to make sure everyone was paying attention.
"What we're owed. A night beneath a good solid roof, and all the grub you can eat."
Some of his men started to cheer.
"This is what I promised all of you when you joined underneath my banner. A life to live instead of just exist. A life without the sects of the officials breathing down our necks. A life of freedom."
The cheers got louder.
"Now, let's have a good night. A wild night. A whirling, demonic night."
The men roared their approval when a voice cut through the night. Most of his men seemed deaf to it, but a small voice said to them,
"This is not a good wise course of action, interloper. You approach the border of Faram."
He froze at the voice that drifted in on the wind.
"Who dares? Who dares approach the camp of the Whirling Demon Sword Gang?"
he demanded.
"We are of Great Faram. Thy scouts have fallen perished for attempting to assault, kill its disciples, and interloping."
His hackles rose at the statement, the voice a chi-filled whisper. His men formed up around him, their swords drawn and ready. The rest of his gang inched closer together. That was stupid when fighting cultivators, but they could not control the fear or the feeling of being watched. Sweat beaded on foreheads. Men, already antsy and remembering the attack of the Verdant Blade, looked close to breaking.
"Our great master is a kind, generous soul, and you are not yet upon his land. So the first disciple instructs you thus. That you do not know the strength power of Faram is forgivable. Attempting to strike at it anyways is not. To continue upon this course path is to end your lives."
Sun Ken let some of his intent leak out. His men's resolve firmed as they felt his presence.
"Show yourself, you coward! Show yourself and this daddy will kill you swiftly for daring to dictate terms to him."
"You shall see the first disciple then, and Faram shall instruct you."
There was a burst of snow as something landed at the entrance of their camp. The men, confused by their leaders shouting, flinched back from the puff of white powder. The men shifted nervously as footfalls echoed out, stepping assuredly through the snow. Sun Ken's grip tightened on the hilt of his sword. The snow was abruptly blown away, wind howling from the direction of the voice. Sun Ken's blade inched out of his sheath, ready to strike, when he paused, incredulous at what had been revealed to him. He blinked, just to make certain what he was seeing was true. He started laughing. A rooster? With a vest on? Who dared to precipitate this absurd farce? "You little shit!" One of his men barked at the rooster and stepped forwards to strike it with his blade. And then Sun Ken felt it. The laughter died in his throat and sweat beaded on his brow. "Spirit beast? No, wait!" The whirling demon sword tried to shout, but it was too late. The man's body hurled through the air, his chest caved in by a mighty kick. He slammed into a tree with a sickening crack and dropped, dead before he hit the ground. One could hear the hearts of the men hammering away in their chests, but their breaths were silent. They dared not breathe at all. The rooster cocked its head to the side and lowered its leg. He walked into the bandit camp, uncaring that he was surrounded. The voice whispered again.
"The first disciple wishes to inform you that your disciples are very ill-disciplined, but he shall forgive you this time."
The rooster gestured to him.
"You sniff slink around the great master's land like rodents. The first disciple demands to know why."
This damn spirit beast, an up-jumped cock, dared to threaten him, calling itself first disciple. Fury burned in his gut at the thought. His boys were no match for spirit beasts, but he had slain many. This one would be no different. He would consume its core and put its flesh in his cooking pot. Sun Ken drew his sword and pointed it at the outnumbered avian.
"I am the whirling demon blade, Sun Ken. What I do is what I desire to do. I will take what I please from your great master. I shall slay his brothers and rape his wife. I will burn down his home, eat his flesh, drink his blood, and sleep in his skin for daring to mock me so. Sending a spirit beast, a chicken, against me instead of facing me himself? A more worthless great master I can't imagine."
His aura erupted. Demonic red saturated the clearing as he drew upon his full might. Some of his men's eyes started to go blank, his aura infecting them with bloody-minded zeal. His blade began to whisper and gibber madly, demanding that he cut. The rooster's eyes were wide in shock. Sun Ken grinned. The thing had probably never been truly challenged before.
"So you have chosen death."
The little voice sounded both angry and slightly fearful. The chicken screeched with fury. It was a shockwave of noise. Several men staggered backwards from the force of the rooster's cry, their ears leaking blood. One of the closest, directly in the line of fire, clutched his heart and slumped to the ground, frothing at the mouth. Twin blades of moonlight sprung from the rooster's spurs, pure, bright silver, and the snow seemed to explode around him as he moved. The whirling demon blade rushed to meet him along with his lieutenants, and then all hell broke loose. From the right, an enormous boar that reached the bottom of some men's chest slammed into the encampment with a joyous squeal. Bones shattered, organs ruptured, skulls split. Its mighty tusks gored and savaged as it flung its head from side to side, intent on spearing and trampling everything before it. Where it strode, bare earth was revealed, trampled flat and coated with the blood of the wicked. The beast's presence demanded attention, for his grunts of happiness and squeals of joy forced all eyes to him. Men swung swords and thrust spears with strength fueled by terror, trying desperately to halt its advance, but the mundane weapon simply bounced off its skin as it forged ever deeper into their ranks. From the left, a more measured threat came. Its trotters struck and kicked, its bulk carefully crushed and smashed. Its maw opened and shut politely, relieving men of their limbs before the offending objects were spat back out in disgust. The pig, for all its mass, fought with purpose. While the boar accepted blows, uncaring and unheeding of them, the pig deftly dodged, or daintily pirouetted between strikes, and struck back with its own, never stopping its own thrust into the enemy's ranks. A tiny rat was upon its back, and occasionally the little beast would throw pepper powder into eyes or leap off to bite into fingers before retreating back to safety. These three were bad enough, but there was one more. From the back came death. Mere mortals could not perceive its passing. Throats split open, thighs were flayed through the arteries, eyes were blinded in a blur of orange. Some were merely crippled, falling down and wailing in pain and terror, which only added to the sudden cacophony. The mere men, assaulted and surprised from all sides, broke. Some tried to flee. Some tried to hide, dragging the bodies of their slain comrades over themselves to use as shields. Some simply collapsed, unable to take any more. They were all easy pickings. But Death's eyes were upon a more powerful prize. One of the whirling demon sword's lieutenants leapt back from a mighty blow from the rooster, his sword nearly flying from his hand with the force of the strike, before Death was upon him. He nearly died in the first three exchanges. He could not believe his eyes as his sword desperately parried chi-infused claws. The beast bounced, springing off trees and the bodies of his men, claws scoring great furrows wherever it landed on flesh, leaving no trace upon the wood or earth. The man could feel it. The sheer bloodlust and glee the beast had, the predatory grace and savage fury. It was like facing his boss, condensed into the form of a monster. It was a tiger in the body of a cat. Three more strikes were exchanged, and he threw the beast backwards, then entered into a stance. He ignored the scream of one of his brothers as an arm and blood arced through the air. He sharpened his intent and focused his breathing as the beast stalked towards him.
"Go!" he heard his leader yell. "Take the boar and return to me!"
One of the other cultivators split off, bleeding from a cut on his head, while another of their number fell, struck down by the rooster. He moved into the first step of the whirling demon sword. Whirling dance of blood. Bloody red energy collected around his blade, and his heart squeezed painfully in his chest as he forced out the incomplete technique. He had not yet learned enough of it, but it would be sufficient, even this lowly version. The beast's eyes widened. What came forth was the mad dance of a demon. His sword flew into befuddling patterns as he struck with crazed abandon. Each blow chained into the next as he spun, leapt, and smashed. Each strike got closer and closer to ending the beast. He started laughing, red creeping into the edges of his vision. He embraced the power of the demon. Orange fur drifted on the breeze. Tiny drops of red fell. The cat landed and took a breath. Chi gathered around the little monster as he surged towards it. Claw art, fivefold blades. Blades of pure cutting force bit into the ground, extending as long as a sword. The cat's form blurred as it raised a paw, then brought down the technique. His blade whirled skyward in defense. One blade was blocked, then two. The third he dodged by a hair's breadth. The fourth scraped along his ribs. The fifth cut deep into his arm, but he was through the barrage of chi, his sword thirsty for blood. He roared, barreling down upon the tiny creature, a demon about to taste blood. The cat's other paw rose from beneath. Five more blades struck true, biting up into his gut. One ruptured his liver, one punctured his kidney, one burst his stomach, one penetrated his lungs, the last one tore through his spine. Blood erupted from his mouth. His sword stopped inches from striking the beast. He fell. The cat nearly collapsed, but caught itself, panting. Her eyes turned to the true fight. She could intervene and slay the pathetic thing that dared to threaten the master whenever she felt like it. Her limbs shook. Whenever she felt like it. Bitty chastised himself. His recklessness had not been fully tempered. He had dared to preach to Sister Tigu when he was still so lacking. It was shameful. This wretched thing's words had driven him nearly to folly. It was bad enough that he was an interloper. He dared to threaten the great master's disciples, friends, and woman, the great healing sage. He knew in his heart that the great master could slay all of the interlopers with but a glance and a flick of his fingers, but the words most foul had driven him to wrath. To threaten his benevolent great master with such atrocities? This man did not just court death, he embraced it wholeheartedly. Bidi had charged into four of those wicked men and barely survived the first few moments. It was not their strength that was nearly his undoing. It was their skill. It was no wonder Chaoji had sought to corrupt his form into one that resembled this. Their bodies were optimized for fighting and wielding spurs made of iron. His enemy's arrogance had prevented them from capitalizing on his mistake, however. They hadn't used any of their chi-empowered techniques. He had trained greatly. His holy lunar blades were nearly completely refreshed, with only a few minor blemishes, and the timely intervention of his fellow disciples had given him the ability to fight only the leader. Tigo had slain her opponent, while the last one flailed, assaulted with Sister Rizu's concoctions, Brother Chunki's overpowering might, and Sister Pipa's fearsome, beautiful maw. His intent was now completely focused. This Sun Ken's strikes were befuddling, a mad dance that he needed to use every inch of his ability to see through and comprehend. Sun Ken's sword whispered and gibbered every time he got close to hitting Bidi. If he had started the fight with such a technique, Bidi surely would have fallen. Holy silver clashed with demonic red as they leapt off the trees. It was a dance in the air, a clash of light and darkness. The man was spewing bile and vitriol, but Bidi had centered himself now. The words were as rain upon his back. But he was tiring. Sun Ken's blows were mighty and his skill undeniable. Bidi would have to redouble his efforts. Small nicks accumulated on his form, and his spurs protested every time he directly clashed with the man. It only truly highlighted how far Bidi had to go. He drove forwards, dodging a blow that would have decapitated him, and landed a kick to Sun Ken's ribs. The strike made something crack, and the man was thrown up into the air. Rising of the crescent moon. Bidi rose to meet him as surely as the moon rose at dusk. The man's iron spur intercepted the blow, demonic red clashing with holy silver. Sun Ken roared with fury. His chi thickened. His sword burned with unnatural light and screamed with wrath, the very metal seeming tortured, along with what sounded like a faint voice from within the blade itself. Whirling demon slash. Bidi's eyes widened. The spur struck three times in quick succession, hammering into his legs and sending him falling back down to earth. Sun Ken appeared an instant later, his spurs screaming for blood. The maddening, screeching voice coming from the blade begged its master to cut. Bidi's wings flapped and the wind howled, propelling him back out of the way. Sun Ken glared around the silent clearing filled with corpses and started laughing. The great terror of the Azure Hills, Sun Ken, the whirling demon blade, defeated not by the verdant blade sect, but by farm animals. How bad a joke this is. The smile fell off the man's face. Come then, one last blow, first disciple. Red surged around the man as he focused his intent. Bidi panted. This was not working. The man gripped his blade with two hands, blood leaking out of his mouth. Madness and fury contorted his face into a demonic visage. His blade began to wail as the energy collected around it. Bidi closed his eyes and took a deep breath. He was nearly spent. Above him, the clouds parted. The half-moon hung above their heads, shedding its light upon the world. The half-moon. It had its own lessons. Like the Taijitu, it was half dark and half light, but the separation was perfect, unlike that symbol. No light stained the dark, and no dark stained the light. His feathers drank in the holy light, armoring his body in the purest argent. Yet Sun Ken struck first. Spiraling demonic whirlwind. Red roared out, forming a ravening twister of destruction. Like demonic teeth, it consumed everything in its path. Bidi charged to meet it, racing into the jaws of death. The red, ravening energy slammed into his chest, and he howled in pain. But it was nothing compared to the pain Chaoji had inflicted upon him. He drove through it as Sun Ken spat blood, the mist flowing out and into the red wave, burning his vital energy in his last attack. The luminescent feathers faltered. His pure armor began to fail. Little red cracks formed. Like the fangs of a demon, the whirlwind bit deep, offering no mercy. It ripped into silvery flesh and tore it to pieces. Bidi screamed. the silver light guttered out. Sun Ken stood, panting. He couldn't believe it. It was the strongest spirit beast he'd ever encountered. The strongest creature he had ever faced, which had nearly led him to death, was a chicken. Not a blaze bear or a wrecker ball or something from another province. A base rooster that could use chi. He opened his mouth to shout his victory, but no sound came out. Instead, blood poured down his chin, splattering onto the ground. "Sneaky little bastard," he said, almost impressed. A black, nearly invisible spur was embedded in his heart. Red bled into black as Bidi revealed himself, his blackened feathers fading back to their red tones. His body had been the night itself, the shrouded face of the moon. A second rooster formed for an instant, made out of silvery light. Two roosters stood in front of him as he toppled, breathing his last breath. Split faces of the half moon.